Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 3rd of March, the 62nd day of 2025, giving us a nicely balanced 303 days on our way to 2026. Once upon a time, March was known to ancient Romans as Martius, the first month of the earliest Roman calendars, remaining so as late as a century before Julius Caesar. Named after Mars, the god of war and the guardian of agriculture, in March the Romans began their growing season, which had been preceded by an interim fallow period of 2 months, for which they did not have any names, until Emperor Numa Pompilius in the 8th century BC, when Januarius and Februarius were added, months intended for purification, both spiritual and physical. Here on the other side of the Atlantic, many farmers and gardeners in Maine earnestly approach March as the beginning of the agricultural year. Sure, in January and February, many of us find ourselves browsing seed catalogs, providing a few moments here and there of respite from the twice-per-week storms, and fortifying our resolve that we don't need to feel beholden to the world of Wall Street and other such crass commercial definitions of 21st century life. No, instead we value self-sufficiency at its most basic level, as edible sustenance. Hence, our spreadsheets include a complexity masquerading as simplicity, the sort, for instance, easily found in the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Seed Planting Calendar, beginning right on schedule March 1st, with suggestions to start seeding indoors such staples as celery, parsley, scallions, onions, leeks, and shallots, and by the 14th to start seeding indoors head lettuce, bulb fennel, and chicories. Sowing pepper and eggplant seed should commence between the vernal equinox, or March 21st, and April Fool's Day. March, therefore, has the growing shebang off and running. So this past week of 40-degree temperatures has us stirring, though still knowing how two-faced Mother Nature can be. We must be careful, else slipping on a slight slope of iced landscape will knock the wind out of the unwary, as it did me last Thursday when both legs went out from under me and I landed whomp flat on my back. Birthday boy poet James Merrill has these thoughts on our responsibilities to nature. Alessio and the Zinnias. One summer, was he 8? They gave him the seed packet, along with a 2-foot by 4-foot slice of the estate. To grow, grim law without appeal. He, after all, kept growing every day. Now this redundant chore. Up sprouted green enough for the whole canton, had one known to thin it. Michaelmas found him eye to eye with a gang of ruffians. Not askable indoors, whose gaudy wooden attitudes, like pine cones in drag, there was scant question of endorsing, much as our droll friend, their legatee, would reap from them over the years, for instance, think twice before causing just anything to be. Then, hold your head high in the stinking throngs of kind, joyously assimilate the sun, never wear orange or pink. Heavenward last night in the western sky, shortly after sunset, our thin, waxing crescent moon hung above brightly shining planet Venus, below which was the diminutive planet Mercury. Tomorrow evening and the evening after, soon as the sky becomes dark, look to the southwest to see our thick waxing crescent moon keeping company with the big bright planet Jupiter, the bright orange star Aldebaran from the constellation Taurus the Bull, and the Pleiades star cluster, also known as the Seven Sisters. March will also feature a total lunar eclipse a week from today. Today in 1820, American lawyer and statesman Henry Clay helped win passage of the Missouri Compromise, which divided the U.S. over the issue of slavery, with Missouri entering as a new state favoring slavery and Maine entering as a new state against slavery. Today in 1842, Massachusetts passed the first U.S. child labor law regulating work hours. Today in 1861, Tsar Alexander II of Russia signed the Emancipation Manifesto, freeing serfs and granting them the full rights of free citizens. Today in 1887, Anne Sullivan began teaching six-year-old blind deaf Helen Keller. Today in 1923, the first issue of the American Weekly magazine Time was published. Today in 1931, the Star-Spangled Banner, written by Francis Scott Key during the War of 1812, was officially adopted by an act of the U.S. Congress as our national anthem, and Cab Calloway recorded Minnie the Moocher, jazz's first million seller. Today in 1985, the first episode of the sitcom Moonlighting, starring Sybil Shepherd and Bruce Willis, aired on American television. Today in 1991, Los Angeles police officers, after engaging African-American motorist Rodney King in a high-speed car chase, brutally beating King, were acquitted the next year, despite a videotape of the incidents leading to a large-scale rioting in the city. Today in 2005, piloting the Global Flyer, a specialized airplane that featured 13 fuel tanks, Steve Fawcett became the first person to fly an airplane solo around the world without refueling, departing Salina, Kansas, in February 28th and returning there on March 3rd for a total time of 67 hours. Today in 2024, Caitlin Clark became the all-time leading scorer in NCAA basketball, surpassing Pete Maravich's record of 3,667 points. Today in 1847 in Edinburgh, Scotland, Eliza Grace Bell and Alexander Melville Bell welcomed Alexander Graham, the second of their three sons, into the world. Alexander Graham's father taught elocution and was especially interested in deaf mutes, as Eliza Grace was deaf, but she refused to learn the lip-reading system her husband had developed. Nonetheless, they were a loving couple to each other and to their children. Like their father, the Bell boys were interested in sound, inventing talking toys. But that work ended when Alexander Graham's brothers, James and Charles, died of tuberculosis. So, in search of a healthy climate for their sole surviving son, the family moved to Canada. Soon, young Alexander Graham was traveling to New England to work on his own research while teaching his father's methods. In 1875, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, and by 1877 had created the Bell Telephone Company and married Mabel Hubbard at her family estate in Cambridge, Massachusetts. His wedding present to his bride was to give her 1,487 of his 1,497 shares in the newly formed Bell Telephone Company. Like Bell's mother, Mabel Hubbard was deaf, and like Bell's parents, he and Mabel were happy and devoted to each other all their lives. Today is also the birthday in 1756 of English novelist and political philosopher William Godwin. In 1831, of the American inventor of the railway sleeping car, George Pullman. In 1840, of Nez Perce leader Chief Joseph. In 1906, of Creole American jazz clarinetist Barney Bigard. In 1911, of American actress Jean Harlow. In 1913, of American composer Margaret Bonds. In 1914, of American actor Martin Ritt. In 1920, of Canadian actor James Doohan. In 1923, of bluegrass folk and bluegrass guitarist and singer-songwriter Doc Watson. In 1926, of American poet James Merrill. In 1938, of American rock guitarist and songwriter Willie Chambers. In 1942, of British rock vocalist and guitarist Mike Pender. In 1947, of American singer Jennifer Warnes. In 1948, of British rock guitarist Snowy White. In 1951, of American funk and jazz fusion bass player Rusty Allen. In 1952, of American Pro Football Hall of Famer linebacker Randy Gratishar. And in 1953, of American rock guitarist Dave Amato. In 1954, of American rock guitarist John Lilly. In 1962, of American Olympic sprinter Jackie Joyner Kersee. And of American College Football Hall of Fame running back Herschel Walker. In 1964, of Mexican-American actress Laura Haring, and in 1970, of American actress Julie Bowen. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the 11th week of winter, only two to go, and to the 10th week of 2025.